Welcome to the King's Church podcast. We are an ACC church based on the Gold Coast in Queensland, Australia. We'd love for you to join us on any given Sunday. In the meantime, we hope this message blesses you.
Hey, we've been in this series called From Kings to Kings, and basically letters from the past kings of Israel. If they were to write to us from the grave, what are the lessons that they would tell us? If they could speak to us now, that's really what this series is about. The Bible says that everything that was written was for our learning. Everything that was previously recorded was actually so that we can learn from it. But how many of you know that sometimes history tells us that we don't learn from history, that we continue to repeat old things? But I really believe that looking at the kings of Israel, the lessons that we can learn from that, that there are some practical things that we can take. And so we've looked at King Saul, King David, King Solomon, King Joash, some of these other lesser-known kings. Today I want to speak on King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah was one of the few kings of the southern kingdom of Judah. So as I've explained before, the kingdom of Israel was divided in the fourth king, under the fourth king. So you have Saul, David, Solomon, Solomon's son Rehoboam. During his time, the kingdom was split. The northern kingdom of Israel in the north and the southern kingdom of Judah in the south. Southern kingdom of Judah was smaller, but it also had the city of Jerusalem as their capital. And so every king in the north, every king of the nation, the kingdom of Israel, was wicked repeatedly, worshipped other gods, did wicked in God's sight. But in the southern kingdom, every now and then, a good king would arise. And the Bible would kind of give us a snapshot of their life. Such and such came into the kingdom. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Others, such and such came into the kingdom. He did what was wicked or evil in the sight of the Lord. So it gives us this. So this is one of those rare times when a king emerges and he is a godly king. And so Hezekiah is the king that we're looking at. But I want to look at a specific incident that occurred during his reign. And the incident was basically he was threatened by an invading army. The nation of Assyria had basically laid siege and waste to all the other kingdoms and nations all around. In fact, the nation, the northern kingdom of Israel, was taken into Assyrian captivity. So you often hear about the southern kingdom of Judah going into Babylonian kingdom. Well, before they did, the northern kingdom, they went into Assyrian captivity. And so the Assyrians were the kind of powerhouse of their time. They defeated all the kingdoms, all the nations, and now they finally make their way and they are at Judah's doorstep. They are right down at Judah's doorstep. And so we're going to look at how King Hezekiah responded to this threat. And this is really, practical for us, because maybe there is something that you are facing right now. Maybe it is a threat about your health. Maybe it is a threat about where you live, or a threat that's coming against your children or your marriage, or there is a threat against your finances. Whatever it is, I believe that irrespective of how great a threat that looks like, just like Hezekiah, God can do something on our behalf. Amen. So we're going to kick off from 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 1 to 4. It says this: "After these deeds of faithfulness," talking about Hezekiah, "Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered Judah. He encamped against the fortified cities, thinking to win them over to himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib had come and that his purpose was to make war against Jerusalem, he consulted with his leaders and commanders to stop the water from the springs which were outside the city, and they helped him. Thus many people gathered together who stopped all the springs and the brook that ran through the land, saying, 'Why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water?'" Here's the first thing I want to say when you are facing a threat. The first thing you need to do is shut off the supply. Shut off the supply of whatever is being spoken to you or threatened against you. You've actually got to find a way to shut that thing off. So King Hezekiah goes and he says, this invading army, this great force are coming, and we've got water in abundance that is surrounded. I don't want to come and help feed and nourish the thing that's coming to terminate me, the thing that's coming to invade me and destroy me. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to shut off the water supply out there. So when they come, they're not going to be nourished and refreshed by us. Similarly, for all of us, when that thing comes, whether it's the intimidating voice of some sort of threat that you continuously hear in your mind, that God gives us the ability to shut that thing off. That you don't actually have to be victim to that. You don't have to be subjected to that. That God is saying, no, 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 you actually have a say and you can shut that thing off. You can shut it off completely. There's a story well known about a young man, and he was emotionally in turmoil. He had this inner struggle that was happening within him, positivity and negativity. And he was constantly in distress and turmoil. And so he goes to his wise mentor and he explains to him the situation. This is what's happening. And the mentor says to him, within you are two dogs. One represents the negative, the other the positive. And they are wrestling and fighting and attacking each other constantly. And the young man took a breath and he said, that's exactly what it feels like. And in great distress, he said, who's going to win? Which one is going to win? And his mentor said, the one you feed. The one you feed. For a lot of us, we are feeding things that are unhealthy and wondering why. Why am I struggling with this thing? Why is this reoccurring? Why is this thing? But the issue is that if you starve that thing, if you stop nourishing it, if you stop giving it your attention, your energy, occupy real estate in your mind, if you stop doing that thing will no longer, it'll be weakened and it'll eventually die. I was going for lunch the other day, and I know up here at the corner of the roundabout where the IGA servo is, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but there are these gates on the other side of the roundabout, and it's always closed. And you know, just being a sticky beak, I thought, oh, I'm on lunch break, I've got some food, I might just go and have a drive and see what's in there. And so I went and drove in, and it's a beautiful estate, you know, massive mansions and beautiful fields and parklands and stuff. So I've just pulled over and gotten my lunch out and went and sat down on the bench and just enjoying the scenery, enjoying the lake and all of that. And meanwhile, the residents are sort of walking their dogs, looking over at me, and people are driving past sort of whispering and looking at me, this shady-looking guy. And that. And so what I realised is that it was a private estate. And sooner or later, a gentleman came up, and he came up to me, is extremely polite, and he said, oh, sir, can I help you? And I said, no, I'm good. I'm just having some lunch. And he goes, this is a private estate. And I said, oh, I didn't realize that. I just saw the gates open and I wandered in and, you know, I'm just having some lunch. And he goes, no, I understand. And I asked him a little bit about it. He started telling me about that area and let me finish my lunch, and then I left. The thing for a lot of us is that there are thoughts and there are things that come our way and we just leave it unchecked. And like the gates to our mind, that thing just wanders in, plants itself into your thought process, plants itself into your soul, and it just sort of sets up home there. And then we wonder why. But let me tell you, the Bible says that we can take every thought captive. We can actually take authority over everything. Like a security guard that stands at the front of the door with a clipboard and checks your ID, you are not coming in if you're unauthorized. If you're unauthorized, if your name is not in that list, you are not coming in. And for many of us, we've got to do that with thoughts. We've got to do that about other people's opinions. We're saying, no, it might be real, it might be happening, but you are not coming in here. You're not coming in. There is this thing that psychologists tell us, it's called parent tapes. And I don't know if you've ever found yourself doing this, but have you ever found yourself as a parent saying a statement to your kids and then just thought, oh my goodness, I sound like my mother. I sound like Dad, just like Dad. Have you ever found yourself kind of doing it, same tone? Psychologists tell us this is parent tapes that, you know, somehow those sort of phrases that, you know, we kind of keep them and then we find ourselves saying it. And I had to check myself the other day because I heard my son saying to his younger sister, you're so irresponsible. And he said it in a way that I've said it to him in the past. And I thought, oh my goodness, I, you know, didn't realize he's kind of saying what I'd said to him. And I just feel like that for some people, that there is some narrative, some things that you are hearing, and it's come from people that care about you, but they've just kind of been said over you and you've kept it, and then it gets replayed over and over and over again. I want to tell you that God has come to give you a fresh new playlist. You don't have to put that thing on repeat. You don't have to accept that thing over and over and over again. That God has given you something so that you can actually speak over yourself. Even if no one else is speaking it over you, you can actually change that script, change that playlist. And this kind of segues into my second point, which is strengthen yourself and your surrounds. Strengthen yourself and your surrounds. You see, after they'd received this threat of what had happened, the Bible says in verse 5 of 8, same chapter 32, Hezekiah strengthened himself. He strengthened himself. He built up the wall that was broken, raised it up to the towers, and built another wall outside. Also, he repaired the millo in the city of David and made weapons and shields in abundance. Then he set military captains over the people, gathered them together to him in the open square of the city gate, and gave them encouragement, saying, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitude that is with them. For there are more with us than with them. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to him, to help us and to fight our battles." And the people were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. For every single one of us, we have got to get to a point where you can actually strengthen yourself. That maybe you may not be able to contact your prayer partner, you may not be able to find a pastor, you may not have reception to listen to that podcast that encourages you, but I believe that God has put within each one of us the ability to speak to ourselves, to preach to ourselves. Before I preach to you, God makes sure that I preach this to myself, that irrespective of all the insecurity that I'm hearing, all the stuff that I hear, I used to struggle to get up and speak to anyone, on a platform like this, because at the same time that I'm trying to speak something out, there is a voice that's saying, sit yourself down. You have no right to speak to anyone. There is no way you have the ability or the authority to speak to anyone. Sit down. That's what I would be hearing. But I've got to override that and say, maybe I am imperfect. Maybe I have heaps of flaws. Maybe I'm not qualified. But God says I am his child, that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And for every single one of you, you can reverse that playlist and start telling yourself, I am the head and not the tail. I am above only and not beneath. I am blessed when I come in and when I come out. God is for me. He is not against me. I am an overcomer. I am a more than a conqueror through Christ who saved me, through Christ who strengthens me. That every single one of us has the ability to strengthen ourselves. Strengthen ourselves. There's a story about David and his men, and they come back to the town that they have been living in, and you can imagine it's a town called Ziklag, and as they approach, they see this black billowing clouds that are going up, and they find the city has been burnt down. Not only that, their wives, their children, their possessions, everything has been taken. Little did they know that while they were away, that town was raided by their enemies and they took everything. Bible says that the men cried and wept until they had no more strength. A little bit like when Queensland lose the state of origin, you know, the sound of grown men howling at the moon, all that sort of stuff, crying. And they got to a point where they start to blame David. They turn around and they look at David and they blame David. And you can imagine David is in a situation where he's having to deal with his own grief. He's lost two wives, his kids, and now his men are turning on him. They've picked up stones, they're about to stone him. But the Bible says David strengthens himself in the Lord. That at this point, David has to turn and he's got to speak to himself. And I don't know what he said, but maybe he said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. In whom shall I fear? When I'm feeling overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Whatever David did, he did it to himself and he changed the course of that situation. He strengthens himself and then he calls for the priest to bring the word of God. The priest gives him the word of God, and the word of God is, pursue, for you will overtake and recover all. And that's what they did. They went after them. They received everything back that they had lost and then some, everything else that the enemy took. And I just feel like that for some people here, this is a reminder that God is saying to you, you don't have to settle with the things that you have lost. That God is saying, no, 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 you can go after it. The scripture says that when the thief is caught, he must return sevenfold. So you never just get back what you lost. God always makes sure with the enemy, there's interest. God always makes sure that there is actually more than what you lost. So he strengthens himself and he strengthens his surrounds. The thing is that when we're able to strengthen ourselves, that stuff leaks out and it impacts those people that are around us. And we can begin to strengthen others as well. There's a story about a woman in Genesis, the book of Genesis, and she is barren. She can't have any children. And so her husband prays and intercedes for her. And eventually she falls pregnant, but she has a really, really difficult pregnancy. And she goes to God and she says, what is going on with this pregnancy? And God says to her, in your womb are two nations. There are two groups of people in your womb. And the older will be subject to the younger. And so in due time, she gives birth and the first child comes. And, you know, the Bible says he's red, he's hairy, and he comes out. They call him Esau. But as he is coming out, there is a hand that is clutching his ankle, and it's the second son. And so based on that one action, he comes out. They call that second son Jacob. And Jacob literally means supplanter. It means usurper, someone who is attempting to get something over the top of someone else. It doesn't have positive connotations. It's like deceiver. And so based on that one incident when he is born, Jacob is given that name. And it's kind of like a label. And it explains why Jacob's actions in the Bible are so shady. Why he disguises himself as his brother and gets a blessing. Why he manages to con his own brother into selling him his birthright. There is all this stuff. Why is Jacob doing that? And I believe it's because he lived under this cloud, this label, that he is a usurper. He is a supplanter. And so he had to live under the cloud of that. But watch what happens. One day, he has this encounter with a stranger. And the Bible says he's alone and the stranger meets him and they wrestle. And the day is beginning to break. And the stranger says to him, let me go because the day is breaking. What's Jacob? Jacob says, I will not let you go. What happened when Jacob was born? He refused to let go. And as a result, there was a negative connotation. He comes again here and he refuses to let go. And this time he says to the stranger, I won't let you go until you bless me. Bless me. Because it feels like I've been living under this cloud, this label my whole life, and I need you to bless me. The stranger says to him, what is your name? And he says, Jacob. And watch what he does. He says, you'll no longer be Jacob. You will be Israel. Because you have struggled with men and God and you have prevailed. So watch what God does. God says, you will no longer be known by that label that you have been living under. Now you will be known by this title that I'm giving you that you will live up to. And I believe that for some of us here that God is saying, you will no longer be living under that label of whatever it is that people have said about you or what's happened to you. God's saying, no, 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 you have been given a new title. You are a daughter of the King. You are the son of the Most High God. And God is taking away the labels and he is giving you a brand new title. Amen. And so finally, and worship team, why don't you come up? The Bible says that he strengthens himself, but despite this, the intimidations, the speeches by the enemy, all of that kept coming. And then finally, they write him a letter. And this letter is really intimidating, and it explains, you know, how they have laid waste to all these other nations. What makes you think that you're any different? Did their gods protect them? Your God's not going to protect you. So the Bible says that Hezekiah takes that letter. He takes it up. He goes up to the house of God, and he just lays it out. He spreads it out before the Lord. And so my final point is to step up and to spread out. That whenever there is that threat that comes, that we have the ability to actually step up and to spread out. He doesn't take that threat and begin to post it on his social media feed. He doesn't broadcast it to everyone. No. He takes that and he goes up to the house of God and he spreads it out before God. That's what it says. And I believe that for us, every single one of us, there is an opportunity for every single one of us to take whatever it is. Maybe for you, it's a medical report and it's extremely negative. Or maybe it's something to do with your finances and maybe you're facing bankruptcy. Maybe it's divorce papers or maybe it's something. We had a gentleman a little bit earlier in the year and he was going through some fairly serious court proceedings and met with him and showed me all the court stuff that he was dealing with. And that was kind of his way of bringing it up and laying it before God. We prayed, you know, I was able to help with references and all of that. And praise God that he was cleared of all of it. And he was able to go free when he was actually looking at some serious prison time as a result. And that's the thing. I think that whatever that thing is, that we have an opportunity to take it and, like Hezekiah, just lay it before the Lord. Because here's what's happened. He lays it and he prays. God sends Isaiah the prophet to him with a response to that prayer. And the response is a beautiful prayer. You'll have to read it. But it closes with this. He says, "That army will not set one foot into this place. They will not shoot one arrow into this place. The same way they came in is the same way they went. They will go back." And then overnight, the Bible says that God dispatched one angel, and he laid waste to 180,000 Assyrian soldiers. So that when they woke up, people of Judah looked out and there were just bodies everywhere. The king was spared, but the Bible says he went home, and not long after that, he's worshiping in their pagan god's temple, and his own sons come and they conspire against him and they kill him. This is the thing about doing it God's way. God says, "I'll act on your behalf." You don't have to take matters into your own hands, so to speak, and trying to work and make things work. God says, no. If you bring that to me, this is how we fight our battles. We fight them on our knees in prayer. We fight them by putting our trust in God, that when you actually do that, I act on your behalf. I dispatch the angelic heavenly host to act on your behalf. I do those things that you cannot do in the spiritual, but what we do in the natural is that we pray. We place our faith in God.
Thank you so much for joining us. Stay tuned for new messages weekly. You can keep updated on what's happening in the life of King's Church by following us on social media at King's Church GC. Be blessed.